Her smile mocked him. Did she think he couldn't? Furious, he grabbed her arm and propelled her 100 feet off the road into the shadows of a thicket. He was rough and quick, his sole desire to hurt and degrade her. She didn't make a sound. Not one. Didn't take you long to fall back into old ways, did it? He glared down at her in disgust. Angel stood up slowly and brushed leaves from her skirt. She picked them out of her hair. Paul was filled with distaste. It doesn't even bother you, does it? You've got the morals of a snake. She raised her head slowly and smiled a cold, dead smile. Uncomfortable, he strode back to the wagon. He couldn't wait for this trip to be over. Angel could feel the shaking start. She tied her camisole and buttoned up her shirtwaist, shoving it into the skirt. The trembling became worse. She went into the trees where Paul couldn't see her and dropped to her knees. Clammy sweat broke out on her forehead. She felt cold all over. Closing her eyes, she fought the nausea. "Don't think about it, Angel. It doesn't matter if you don't let it. Pretend it didn't happen." Her fingers dug painfully into the tree bark, and she vomited. The coldness passed, and the shaking stopped as she stood up. She stood for a long moment, waiting for the calm to come.
"Hurry up!" Paul shouted. "I want to get there before dark!"
Chin up, she walked back to the road. Paul glared down at her from the wagon seat.
"You know what, Angel? You're overrated. You aren't worth more than 2 bits.
Something burst inside her. "And what are you worth?" His eyes narrowed.
"What do you mean?"
She came closer and snatched the shawl from the side of the wagon. "I know what I am. I never pretended to be anything else. Not once, not ever." She put her hand on the edge of the wagon seat. "And here you are, borrowing Michael's wagon and his horses and his gold and using his wife." She laughed at him. "And what do you call yourself? His brother?" His face went from white to red, then white again. He clenched his fist and looked as though he wanted to kill her.
"I ought to leave you here. I ought to let you walk the rest of the way."
Calm now, in complete control, Angel climbed up onto the wagon seat and sat beside him. She smiled and smoothed her skirt. "You can't now, can you? I've paid you." They didn't speak another word the rest of the way.
Part 2. Fear. Chapter 15. From the Gospel According to Matthew, Chapter 18, Verses 21 through 22. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. The palace was gone. Angel stood shivering in the falling snow, mud up to her ankles, and stared at the blackened rubble of what was left. She looked around and saw that the streets were quiet and half deserted. Several buildings were half torn down, the boards and shingles already loaded on wagons. What was happening? Across the street was an open saloon. At least the Silver Dollar was still in business. She remembered the proprietor, Murphy. He always came up the back stairs. When Angel entered the swinging doors, the few men inside stopped talking and stared. Murphy was at the bar.
"Well, I'll be, if it ain't Angel," he grinned broadly. "I didn't recognize you in those rags. Max, get the lady a blanket. She's wet and half frozen. Hey, gents, look who's back. Little lady, you are a sight for sore eyes. Where you been, sweetheart? Word was you got married to some farmer."
He laughed as though it were a great joke. Murphy was loud, and Angel wanted to tell him to shut up. "What happened to the palace?" she asked quietly, trying to still the shaking inside her.
"Burned down?"
"I can see that.
When?
Couple of weeks ago. It was the last bit of excitement we had in these parts. Town's dying, in case you hadn't noticed. The gold that's left in these parts is too hard to get out. Another month or two and paradise is going to be stone cold dead. I'll have to move with the strikes or go broke like some have already done. Hawkshield saw what was coming and tore his mercantile down weeks ago. He's in Sacramento now, raking in the dust.
She tried to still her impatience and raise her waning hope. Where's the Duchess?
Duchess? Oh, she's gone. Left right after the fire. Sacramento, San Francisco, don't rightly know where. Someplace bigger than this, you can bet.
Angel's heart sank as all her plans disintegrated. Max gave her a blanket, and she wrapped it around herself to ward off the growing chill. Murphy kept on talking.
She didn't have a thimble to spit in after McGowan burned the place down around her. Fire killed two of her girls.
She glanced up sharply. Which girls?
Mei Ling, that little celestial flower. I'm going to miss her.
Who was the other girl?
The drunk. What was her name? Can't remember. Anyway, both of them were trapped upstairs when the blaze started. Nobody could get them out. You could hear them screaming. Gave me nightmares for days afterward.
Oh, Lucky, what am I going to do without you?
McGowan tried to get away, Murphy said. Made it about 5 miles before we caught up with him. Brought him back and hanged him right out there on Main Street. Raised him like a flag. Took him a long time to die. He was the meanest.
Angel left the bar and sat down at a table. She needed to be alone and get control of her emotions. Murphy came over with a bottle and 2 glasses. He stayed and poured her a whiskey.
You look down on your luck, honey.
He poured another drink for himself. His eyes were dark and bright as he looked her over.
You got nothing to worry about, Angel. I've got a spare room upstairs.
He glanced around at the men.
You could be back in business in 5 minutes on a simple say-so.
He leaned closer.
All we got to work out is the split. How about 60 for me, 40 for you? You'll get room, board, clothes, whatever you want. I'll take good care of you.
The shaking began inside her again. Angel cupped the glass of whiskey between her hands and stared bleakly into the amber liquid. All her prospects were gone. She had no gold, no clothes other than the ones on her back, no food, and no place to stay. She was back where she had started in San Francisco, except it was winter now, and snowing. There's never going to be a cabin. Murphy leaned forward.
What do you say, Angel?
She looked up at him and smiled bitterly. He knew she couldn't say no. I'm never going to be free.
Well, what do you say?
He ran his finger back and forth on her arm. 50-50, and they pay me, she said, or we don't do business. Murphy leaned back, brows flicking up. He studied her for a long moment and then laughed. Downing his whiskey, he nodded.
Fair enough, provided you give me whatever I want for free. After all, it is my place, isn't it?
He waited, and when she made no argument, he smiled.
Right now, honey, he stood. Hey, Max, take over for me. I'm going to show Angel her new digs.
She's staying? A man called, looking like Christmas had finally come.
Murphy grinned. She's staying. I'm next. How much?
Murphy named a high price. Angel drank the glass of whiskey. Shuddering, she stood as Murphy pulled back her chair. Nothing is ever going to change. Her heart beat slower and slower as she went up the stairs. By the time she reached the top, she couldn't feel her heart beating at all. She couldn't feel anything. I should have stayed with Michael. Why didn't I stay with Michael?
It would never have worked, Angel. Not in a million years.
It did for a while.
Until the world caught up. The world has no mercy, Angel. You know that. It was a desert dream. You just left before he was finished using you. Now you're back where you belong, doing what you were born to do.
What did any of it matter? It was too late to think about what-ifs. It was too late to think about why. It was too late to think about anything.
Murphy wanted the works.
When he left, Angel got out of bed. She blew out the lamp. Sitting in the darkened corner, she hugged her knees against her chest and rocked herself. The pain that had begun when Paul showed up in the valley bloomed and expanded and consumed her. Eyes tightly closed, she made no sound, but the room was filled with silent screaming. The days ran together. Nothing much had changed. Instead of the Duchess, Angel now had Murphy. Instead of McGowan, there was the more manageable Max. Her room was smaller and her clothing less grand. The food was tolerable and plentiful. Men were still the same. Angel sat on the bed, legs crossed and swinging back and forth, as a young miner undressed. His hair was still wet and slicked back, and he smelled strongly of harsh soap. He didn't have much to say, which was fine, because she didn't want to listen. This one wouldn't take long. Closing down her emotions, closing down her mind, she went to work. The door crashed open, and someone yanked the young man away. Angel drew in a sharp breath as she recognized the face of the man above her. Michael! She pushed herself up. Oh, Michael! The young man thudded on the floor. He came to his feet.
What are you doing?
Swearing, he lunged. Michael hit him and sent him back against the wall. Hauling him up, he hit him again and sent him flying backwards through the open door to crash and sag against the outer wall. Michael snatched up the miner's things and heaved them out on top of him. Kicking the door shut, he turned. Angel was so relieved at the sight of him, she wanted to fall at his feet. But one look at his face, and she shrank back.
Get dressed.
He didn't wait for her to move as he grabbed up her discarded clothing and tossed it at her.
Now!
Heart pounding, she fumbled with the clothing, frantically trying to think of a way to escape him. Before she was fully clothed, he yanked her off the bed, opened the door, and shoved her into the corridor. He hadn't even allowed her to put her shoes on. Murphy was coming.
What do you think you're doing? I told you to wait downstairs. That man paid. You can wait your turn.
Get out of my way. Murphy spread his feet and balled his fists.
You think you can get by me?
Angel had seen Murphy in action before and was sure Michael was no match for him. Michael, please. Michael shoved her roughly to one side and stepped in front of her. Murphy came at him, but Michael moved so fast, Murphy was down before he knew what hit him. Michael caught her wrist and pulled her along again. Before they reached the stairs, Murphy was up. He grabbed her arm and yanked back so hard she cried out in pain. Michael let go, and she fell against the wall. Murphy came at him again, and this time Michael sent him straight down the stairs. When Michael bent over her, Angel drew back from him.
Get up, he bellowed.
She didn't dare disobey. He took her arm and shoved her ahead of him. Keep walking and don't stop. Max charged Michael when they reached the bottom of the stairs. Michael used the man's momentum to lift and heave him across a poker table. Two more men came at him, and he pushed her out of the way just before they hit him. The three went crashing back over a faro table. Chips, cards, and men scattered. Two more entered the fracas. Stop it, she screamed, sure they would kill him. Frantic, she looked for something to use as a weapon to help. But Michael wasn't down long enough. He kicked one man off of him and was on his feet. She stared, mouth agape, as he fought. He stood his ground, punching hard and fast as the other men came at him. Swinging around, he brought one foot up straight into a man's face. She had never seen anyone fight the way he did. He looked as though he had been doing it all his life instead of plowing furrows and planting corn. He hit square and he hit hard, and those he hit stayed down. After a few minutes, the men weren't so eager to come at him. Michael stood ready, eyes blazing. "Come on, then," he grated, daring them. "Who else wants to get between me and my wife? Come on!"
No one moved.
Kicking a turned table out of his way, Michael strode toward Angel. He didn't look anything like the man she had come to know in the valley. "I told you to keep walking." He grabbed her arm and swung her toward the doors. His wagon was right outside. Michael caught her up in his arms and tossed her onto the high seat. She had no time to think of escape before he was beside her. He took the reins and snapped them. She had to hang on for dear life. The pace he set was grueling. He didn't slow until they were several miles out of paradise, and when he did, it was out of care for the horses and not her. Angel was afraid even to look at him. She was afraid to say a word. She had never seen him like this before, even that one time when he had lost his temper in the barn. This was not the quiet, patient man she thought she knew. This was a stranger bent on vengeance. She remembered Duke lighting his cheroot and broke out in a cold sweat. Michael wiped blood from his lip. "Make me understand, Angel. Tell me why." "Angel." There was a death knell in the name.
"Let me off this wagon."
"You're coming home with me."
"So you can kill me?"
"Jesus, are you listening to her? Why'd you give me this stupid, stubborn woman?"
"Let me off."
"Not a chance. You're not skipping out of this. We have some things to settle." The look in his eyes was so full of violence, she jumped. She hit heavily and rolled. Regaining her breath, she clambered to her feet and ran. Michael drew back hard on the reins and veered the wagon off the road. He jumped down and started after her.
"Angel!"
He could hear her footsteps fleeing into the woods.
"It's getting dark! Stop running before you break your neck!"
She didn't stop. She tripped over a root and fell so hard she knocked her wind out. She lay gasping on the ground and could hear Michael close behind. He was walking fast, slapping branches out of his way until he spotted her. Angel scrambled to her feet and ran from him in terror, heedless of the branches that slapped her face. Michael cut her off and caught her shoulders. Stumbling, she took him down with her. He turned his body so he landed first and tried to roll her. She kicked and twisted, fighting for freedom. Flinging her onto her back, he pinned her down. When she tried to claw his face, he caught her wrists and held them against the ground. "That's enough." She lay panting for breath, her eyes enormous. Getting his breath back, he yanked her to her feet. The minute he loosened his hold, she tried to run again. He swung her back and took a blow. He almost hit her back, but he knew if he hit her once, he wouldn't stop. He let go of her, but each time she tried to flee, he swung her back. Finally, she attacked, slapping, hitting, and kicking at him. He blocked her blows, all without retaliating. When she sagged, Michael pulled her into his arms and held her tightly. Her whole body was shaking violently. He could feel the fear radiating from her, and rightly so. His rage frightened him. If he had hit her back once, he would have killed her. He had almost gone out of his mind when she left him. He searched on foot until he found the wagon marks and realized what had happened. She had left with Paul. She was on her way back to paradise. He went home, hurt and furious at them both. The long wait for Paul's return from town had been the closest thing to hell he had ever experienced. Why had Paul done it? Why hadn't he sent her home instead of taking her with him? But Michael knew. Paul brought the wagon and horses back. He said Hochschild moved to Sacramento, and that was why it had taken him so long. It was clear he wasn't going to volunteer any information about Amanda. Michael asked straight out. Paul had little to say other than yes. He had driven her back to paradise. "It was her idea to leave. I didn't talk her into it.
Paul said, pale and scared.
What struck Michael hardest was the guilt etched deeply into his grieving face.
He didn't have to ask anything more. He knew what else had happened on the road, or in paradise.
Michael, I'm sorry. I swear it wasn't my fault. I tried to tell you what she was.
Get out of my sight, Paul. Go home and stay there.
And he did. Michael almost didn't come and get her back after that. She deserved whatever she got. She went looking for it, didn't she? He wept. He cursed her. He had loved her, and she betrayed him. She might as well have stuck a knife in his guts and twisted it. But at night, in the dark, he remembered those first days when she had been so sick and he had been given a glimpse of her soul. She had said a lot in her delirium, drawing pictures of the wretchedness of her life. Did she even know any better? He remembered Paul's reaction to her and her own anger. He had seen her hurt, though she had denied it fiercely. He had to go and get her back. She was his wife. Until death do us part. He prepared himself for anything on the way to paradise, but when he walked into that room and saw for himself what she was doing, he had almost lost all reason. If he hadn't seen her eyes or heard the way she said his name, he would have killed them both. But he had seen and heard it, and for one brief, unguarded instant, he'd known what she really felt. Relief. Relief so profound it stopped him cold. But it didn't mean the instinctive rage at her betrayal wasn't still there, bubbling just below the surface. Michael shuddered and drew back from her. "Come on," he said tightly. "We're going home." He took her hand and started back through the woods. Angel wanted to resist, but was afraid. What was he going to do to her now? In this mood, could he be as brutal as Duke?
"Why did you come for me?"
"You're my wife."
"I left the ring on the table. I didn't steal it."
"That didn't change a thing. We're still married."
"You could have just forgotten about it."
He stopped and glared at her. "It's a lifetime commitment in my book, lady. It's not an arrangement you nullify when things get a little tough to bear."
She searched his face in confusion.
"Even after you just found me..."
He started walking again, pulling her along with him. She didn't understand him. She didn't understand him at all.
"Why?"
"Because I love you," he said thickly. He swung her around in front of him, his eyes tormented. "That's simple, Amanda. I love you. When are you going to understand what that means?"
Her throat tightened, and she hung her head. They walked the rest of the way in silence. He lifted her onto the wagon seat. She shifted over as he pulled himself up beside her. She looked at him bleakly.
"Your kind of love can't feel good."
"Does your kind feel any better?" She looked away.
He unlooped the reins.
"Right now, love doesn't have an awful lot to do with feelings," he said grimly. "Don't misunderstand. I'm as human as the next man. I feel all right. I feel plenty right now, a lot I wish I didn't."
He shook his head, his face strained with hurt and anger.
"I felt like killing you when I walked in that room, but I didn't. I feel like beating sense into you right now, but I won't."
He looked at her with dark eyes.
"And no matter how much it hurts, and no matter how much I feel like hurting you back for what you've done, I'm not going to."
He snapped the reins and set off again. Angel tried to shove her feelings down, but they kept coming up, choking her. She clenched her fists, fighting it.
"You knew what I was. You knew."
She wanted him to understand.
"Michael, it's all I've ever been. It's all I'm ever going to be."
"That's pure, unadulterated horse manure. When are you going to stop wallowing in it?"
She looked away, shoulders sagging.
"You just don't understand. It's never going to be the way you want it to be. It can't be. Even if there ever could have been a chance, that's gone now. Don't you see?
His eyes impaled hers.
Are you talking about Paul?
He told you?
He didn't have to. It was written all over his face.
Angel offered no defense. She offered no excuses. Shoulders limp, she stared straight ahead.
Michael saw she took the whole blame on herself, but she and Paul were both going to have to deal with it. So was he.
He faced the road again and was silent for a long time.
Why did you go back? I just don't get it.
She closed her eyes, searching for a good enough reason. She could find none, and swallowed hard.
To get my gold, she said bleakly.
Admitting it aloud made her feel small and hollow.
What for?
I want a little cabin in the woods.
You've already got one.
She could hardly speak past the lump of pain in her chest. She pressed her hand against it.
I want to be free, Michael. Just once in my whole life, free.
Her voice broke. She bit her lip and clutched at the side of the wagon seat so hard the wood dug into her hands. Michael's face softened. The anger vanished, but not the hurt, not the sorrow.
You are free. You just don't know it yet. It was a long, quiet ride back to the valley.
Chapter 16. From Milton. The mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell a hell of heaven. Michael couldn't get it out of his head. She made no apology. She gave no excuses. She just sat, wordless, back straight, head up, hands clenched in her lap, as though she were going into battle instead of going home. Would she rather reject his gift and live in eternal darkness than open her mind and heart to him? Was her pride the only thing that mattered? He didn't understand. Angel sat in silent torment. She struggled against the emotions tearing at her, remorse, guilt, confusion. They became a solid mass, a hardened lump growing in her throat and chest, like a cancer spreading pain into every limb. She was afraid. The hope she thought long since dead was resurrected. She had forgotten the small light that had sometimes flickered inside her as a child. Something would strike its spark and it would grow, until Duke crushed it. She tried to crush it now with logic. Nothing could be the same. Whatever might have grown between her and Michael was ruined. She knew that. The moment Paul had used her, she had thrown her last chance away. I did it to myself. I did it to myself. Mea culpa. Mea culpa. Her mother's words haunted her, unbearable memories of a forsaken life. Why was she feeling this small light again, when she knew it would only be destroyed in the end, just as it had always been? Hope was cruel. Only the aroma of sustenance before a starving child. Not milk, not meat.
Oh, God, I can't hope for anything. I can't. I won't survive if I do. But it was there, a tiny spark, glowing in the darkness.
As they reached the valley at first light, Angel felt the building warmth of the sun on her shoulders, and remembered Michael dragging her with him through the night to face the sunrise. That's the life I want to give you. She hadn't understood then what he offered. She had not comprehended until she walked up the stairs at the Silver Dollar Saloon and sold her soul into slavery again.
It's too late, Angel.
Then why is he bringing me back? Why didn't he just leave me in paradise?
Duke brought you back too, didn't he? Several times. She had always seen retribution in Duke's dark eyes. He had made her suffer. Yet it had been easier to take what he did to her
than to watch the suffering he brought on others who dared aid her. Like Johnny, before Duke dispatched him forever. But Michael wasn't like Duke. She had never seen that sheen of calculated cruelty in his eyes. She had never felt it in his hands. There's a price for everything, Angel. You know that. You've always known. What kind of price would he require for bringing her back from hell? What price for saving her from her own folly? She shook inside. Michael swung the wagon around in the yard in front of the cabin and tied the reins securely. Angel started to climb down, but his hand clamped her wrist. "Sit tight." His voice was heavy, and she sat silently, awaiting his command. When he came around to lift her down, she closed her eyes, afraid to look into his. He set her on the ground gently. "Go into the house," he told her. "I'm going to see to the horses." Angel pushed the cabin door open and felt her whole being permeated with a sense of relief. "I'm home."
"For how long, Angel? Long enough to make you suffer before he casts you out again?"
She couldn't let herself think of that right now. She entered and looked around for changes. Everything was so familiar, so plain, so dear. The rough table, the willow chairs before the fireplace, the bed made out of the wagon bed, the worn quilts his sister had made. Angel moved to lay a fire and make the rumpled bed. Picking up a red wool shirt, she pressed her face into it and inhaled the scent of Michael's body. He was the earth and sky and wind. Her breath stopped. "What have I done? Why did I throw it all away?" Paul's words came back. "You're not even worth two bits." It was true. She was a prostitute, and that's all she would ever be. It hadn't even taken a day for her to fall right back into her old ways. Trembling, she folded the shirt carefully and tucked it away in his drawer. She had to stop thinking. She had to get by as she had always done before. But how could she now? How? Her desperate mind worked for answers, and none came. "I'll do whatever he wants for as long as he wants, if he'll let me stay, if he'll only let me." Though she had no appetite, she knew Michael would be hungry when he came in. She took great care with breakfast. While the porridge cooked, she dusted and swept. An hour passed, then another. Still Michael didn't return. What was he thinking? Was his anger growing? Had he already changed his mind about bringing her back here? Would he kick her out now? Where would she go if he did? Memories of Duke made her stomach twist. He's not like Duke. Every man is Duke when betrayed. Her mind circled like a bird searching for carrion. Her self-defenses roused and took up arms against Michael. No one had forced him to come after her. If he was hurt about what he had seen, he had only himself to blame. It wasn't her fault he walked in when he did. It wasn't her fault he came at all. Why didn't he just leave her alone in the first place? She had never tried to fool him. What did he expect? He knew from the beginning what he was getting. He knew what she was. "What am I?" her mind cried out. "Who am I? I don't even have a name of my own anymore. Is there even a piece of Sarah left?" She kept seeing his eyes, and the hot heaviness of her own heart was unbearable. Finally, she could bear it no more and went out to find him. He wasn't in the field, though the horses were grazing. He was nowhere to be seen. Finally, she entered the barn quietly and saw him. He was sitting, head in his hands, weeping. Her heart sank as she watched, and the ease she sought became an even heavier burden. "I've wounded him. I might as well have taken a knife and stabbed it into his very heart. It would have been better if McGowan had killed me. It would have been better if I'd never been born." Hugging herself, she went back to the cabin and sank to her knees before the fire. It was all her fault. All the ifs flooded her. If she had never left Duke, if she had never gotten on that barkentine, if she hadn't sold herself to any passerby on the muddy streets of San Francisco or gone with Duchess, if she had ignored Paul, if she had stayed here and never left, if she hadn't gone back to paradise or gone up those stairs with Murphy, if, the endless twisting downward staircase. But I did all of it. I did. And now it's too late and Michael sits crying while I haven't a tear for anything. She held herself and rocked back and forth. Why was I ever born? Why? She stared down at her hands. For this? She could feel the filth of her trade covering them. Her whole body was fouled, inside and out. Michael had taken her straight out of the abyss and offered her a chance, and she had thrown it away. Then he came again and took her straight from her soiled bed to his home, and staying true to her own stupidity, she had spent the whole morning cleaning the cabin and had not once thought to cleanse herself. Searching frantically, she found soap and ran for the creek. Stripping off her clothing and heedlessly casting it aside, she waded in. The icy air and water bit her flesh, but she didn't care. All she wanted was to be clean, to wash it all away, everything from as far back as she could remember. Maybe right to the very moment of her conception. Michael rose and hung up the harnesses. He came out of the barn and walked slowly back to the cabin. What could become of a marriage so fouled by sexual betrayal? She never loved me in the first place. Why should I expect her loyalty? She never really promised it. I made her say the vows. She never said a word about being sorry, Lord. Not one word in 30 miles. Have I made a mistake? Was it your voice I heard? Or was it my own flesh? Why are you doing this to me? He should have left her in paradise. She is your wife. Yes, but I don't know if I can forgive her. The image of her in bed with another man was branded in his mind. He couldn't get it out of his head. I loved her, Lord. I loved her enough to die for her, and she did this to me. Maybe she's beyond redemption. How do you forgive someone who doesn't even care enough to want to be forgiven? What does she want, Michael? Freedom. She wants freedom. The cabin was neat. A cozy fire was burning. The table was set and his breakfast ready. Only Angel was missing. Michael swore for the first time in years. Let her go back. I don't care. I'm sick of the struggle. He kicked the pot free of the iron bar. How many times am I supposed to go after her and bring her back? He sat for a while in the willow chair, but his anger just kept building. He would go find her again, and this time he would give her a good piece of his mind. He would tell her if she wanted to leave so badly, he'd even give her a ride back. Slamming out of the cabin, he stood outside, arms akimbo, wondering which way she had run off this time. He scanned the landscape, and with some surprise, spotted her standing naked in the creek. He strode down the bank. What are you doing? If you wanted a bath, why didn't you tote water to the house and warm it? In a sudden, uncharacteristic act of modesty, she turned her back to him, trying to hide herself. Go away. He stripped off his jacket. Come on out of there. You'll catch pneumonia. If you want a bath that badly, I'll tote the water. Go away, she screamed, dropping to her knees and hunching over. Don't be a fool. He waded in and caught hold of her, yanking her to her feet. Her fists were full of gravel. Her breasts and belly were raw from scrubbing. What are you doing to yourself? I have to wash. You didn't give me the chance. You've washed enough. He tried to put the jacket around her, and she pulled away. I'm not clean yet, Michael. Just go away and leave me alone.
Michael grabbed her roughly. Will you be finished when you've stripped your skin off? When you've bled? Is that it? Do you think doing this to yourself will make you clean?
He let go of her, afraid he would do her physical harm.
It doesn't work that way, he said through gritted teeth.
She blinked and sat down slowly, the icy water swirling around her waist.
No, I guess not, she said softly.
Her tangled wet hair hung limp around her white face and shoulders.
Come back inside, he said, and helped her up.
She came without resistance this time, stumbling as they reached the bank. When she bent for her clothing, he pulled her along without them. Half shoving her into the cabin, he slammed the door. Yanking a blanket from the bed, he threw it to her.
Sit down by the fire.
Angel pulled the blanket around her shoulders and sat. She didn't raise her head. Glancing back at her, Michael poured her a cup of coffee.
Drink this.
She did as he told her.
You'll be lucky if you don't get sick.
What are you trying to do? Make me feel guilty you went back to prostitution? Make me feel guilty for dragging you out of that brothel again?
No, she said quietly.
He didn't want to pity her. He wanted to shake her until her teeth fell out. He wanted to kill her.
I could. God, I could kill her and be glad of it. 70 times 7.
I don't want to listen to you. I'm sick of listening. You ask too much. It hurts. Can't you understand? Don't you know what she's done to me?
70 times 7.
His eyes were hot with tears, his heart pounding like a war drum. She looked like a bedraggled child. Shadows lay dark beneath her blue eyes. Let her suffer. She deserved it. There was a mark on her neck that made him sick. She put her hand over it and turned her face away from him. He could almost see her shrinking. Maybe she had a tiny bit of conscience left. Maybe she did feel a little shame. Oh, but it'd wear off soon enough, and she'd be ready to cut him to ribbons again.
I can't help how I feel, Lord. If I thought she could love me, maybe...
As you have loved me?
It's not the same. You're God. I'm only a man.
You shouldn't have come for me, she said dully. You should never have come near me in the first place.
That's right. Blame me.
Maybe she was right. He felt sick. Clenching his hand, he glared down at her.
I said vows, and I'm going to stick by them no matter how much they're choking me now.
She looked up at him with bleak eyes.
You don't have to.
She shook her head.
It'll work. I'll make it work.
Didn't you promise, Lord? Or was I imagining it? Was she right all along, and it was just sexual attraction?
You're only fooling yourself, Angel said. You just don't understand. I never should have been born.
He laughed derisively.
Self-pity. You're drowning in it, aren't you? You're a blind fool, Angel. You can't see what's right in front of your face.
Nor can you.
She stared into the fire.
I'm not blind. I've had my eyes open all my life. You don't think I know what I'm saying? You don't think it's true? I heard my own father say I was supposed to be aborted.
Her voice broke. She regained control and went on more quietly.
How can a man like you understand? My father was married. He already had enough children. He told Mama she just wanted a hold over him. I never knew if that was true.
He sent her away. He didn't want her anymore, because of me. He stopped loving her, because of me.
She kept on in that quiet, agonized voice. Mama's parents were decent people in a good neighborhood. They wouldn't take her in, not with an illegitimate child. Even her church turned her away.
The blanket fell open, and Michael stared down at the reddened marks on her skin. There were lines of red where she had torn at her own flesh.
Jesus, why are you doing this to me?
It was easier retreating into anger than seeing into her tortured soul.
We ended up on the docks, she said, emotionless now. She became a prostitute. When the men left, she'd drink herself to sleep, while Rab went out and drank the money away. She wasn't very pretty anymore. She died when I was 8. She looked up at him, smiling. Her own mouth curved.
So you see, it is true. I shouldn't have been born. It was all a terrible mistake from the beginning.
Michael sat down heavily, tears at the surface again, but not for himself this time.
What happened to you then?
She bowed her head and clasped her hands tightly together. She didn't look at him. It was a long, heavy silence before she spoke, very quietly.
Rab sold me to a brothel. Duke has a thing for little girls.
Michael shut his eyes. She looked up at him. Of course he was repulsed. What man wouldn't be at the thought of a child fornicating with a grown man?
That was just the beginning, she said dully, lowering her head, unable to look at him. You can't even begin to imagine what happened from there. Things done to me, things I did.
She didn't tell him it was a matter of survival. What did it matter? She had chosen to obey. He looked at her through his tears.
You think you're to blame for all of it, don't you?
Who else? Mama? She loved my father. She loved me. She loved God.
A lot of good love ever did her.
How can I blame her for anything, Michael? Should I blame Rab? He was just a poor, dull-witted drunk who thought he was doing the best for me. They killed him, right there in the room in front of me, because he knew too much.
She shook her head. He didn't have to know everything.
You're not to blame, Amanda.
Amanda.
Oh, God. How can you still call me that?
Because it's who you are now.
When will you ever understand? She cried out in frustration. It doesn't matter who does things to you. You can't pretend they didn't happen.
She clutched the blanket around her, hugging herself.
You take it all into yourself. What's happened is what I am. You said it yourself and you're right. I can't wash it away. I can't get clean. I could strip my skin off. I could drain my blood. It wouldn't make any difference. It's like a foul stench I can't get rid of no matter how hard I try. And I've tried, Michael. I have. I swear to you. I've fought and I've run. I've wanted to die. I almost succeeded with McGowan. Almost. Don't you see? Nothing matters. Nothing ever made any difference. I'm a prostitute, and that's what I was meant to be.
That's a lie.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
He leaned toward her, but she drew back, hugging herself even more tightly and looking away.
Amanda, we'll make it through this, he said. We will. I swear a covenant with you.
No, we won't make it. Just take me back.
When he shook his head, she pleaded.
Please. I don't belong here with you. Find someone else.
Better than you mean?
Her face was white as death, her pain stark and raw.
Yes.
Michael reached out to put his hand on her shoulder, but she withdrew from him. He knew why now, and it pierced him to the core that she thought she was so unclean he shouldn't even touch her.
Do you think I'm such a saint? He said hoarsely.
Only moments ago he had denied love and God himself and even longed to kill his own wife. What was the difference in murder by hand or thought? His fleshly nature had relished thoughts of retribution, even lusted for it. He went down on his knees and held her shoulders.
I should have run all the way to paradise, he said thickly. I shouldn't have waited for Paul to come home with his tail between his legs.
She raised her head and looked him straight in the eyes, wanting to end it quickly, once and for all.
I gave him sex just to pay for the ride back. The pain of those words hit him hard, but he didn't give up on her. Michael lifted her chin. Look at me, Amanda. I'm never taking you back. Not ever. We belong together. You're a fool, Michael Hosea. A poor, blind fool. She shivered violently. Michael got up to get her a dry blanket. When he turned, her eyes were on him, and they were filled with fear. What is it? He said, frowning. Do you think I mean to harm you? She closed her eyes tightly. You want what I don't have. I can't love you. Even if I was able, I wouldn't. He hunkered down, took the damp blanket from her, and covered her with a dry quilt. Why not? Because I spent the first 8 years of my life watching my mother do penance for loving a man. He tipped her chin. The wrong man, he said firmly. I'm not the wrong man, Amanda. He straightened and dug in his pocket. Kneeling down before her, he dug beneath a quilt and found her hand. He slipped his mother's wedding ring back on her finger. Just to keep it official. He touched her cheek tenderly and smiled. She hung her head and pulled her hand back beneath the heavy folds of wool. She clenched it against her breasts and felt every self-inflicted scratch and bruise, but far worse was the feeling blooming inside her. The spark was becoming a fire. Michael took a cloth and dried her hair. When he finished, he pulled her close and cradled her in his arms. Flesh of my flesh, he whispered against her hair. Blood of my blood. Angel closed her eyes tightly. His desire for her would diminish with time. He would stop loving her the same way her father had stopped loving Mama. And if she let herself love Michael the way Mama had loved Alex Stafford, he would tear her heart out. I don't want to weep myself to sleep on a rumpled bed and drink my life away. Michael felt her trembling. I can't send you away without cutting myself in half, he said. You're already part of me. He brushed his lips against her temple. We'll start over. We'll put what's happened behind us. How can we? What's done is done. It's all inside me, carved in stone. Then we'll dig it out and bury it. She gave a bleak, humorless laugh. You'll have to bury me. His heart lightened. All right, he said. We'll baptize you. Not just with water, but with the spirit, if she would ever allow it. He kissed her hair and held her. It was ironic how close he felt to her now, closer than he ever had before. He stroked her hair back. I learned a long time ago we've control of little in this world, Amanda. It doesn't belong to us. It's out of our hands. Like being born or being sold into prostitution at 8. All we can change is the way we think and the way we live. She gave a shuddering sigh. And you've made up your mind to keep me with you for a while? Not for a while. Permanently. I'm hoping you'll make up your mind to stay. He caressed her skin tenderly. Whatever anyone else has said and done to you, it's up to you now to make the decision. You can decide to trust me. She searched his face uncertainly. Just like that? Yes, just like that. One day at a time. She studied him for a moment, then nodded. Life had been too unbearable the other way not to try Michael's. Stroking her cheek with his thumb, he kissed her mouth. Her lips softened beneath his, and she clutched the front of his shirt. When he raised his mouth from hers, she rested her cheek against his chest. He felt her body relax completely into his. Michael closed his eyes. Lord, forgive me. You said go to her, and I let pride stand in my way. You said she needed me, and I didn't believe. You said love her, and I thought it would be easy. Help me. Open my heart and mind so that I will love her as you have loved me. The fire crackled softly, and a steady warmth built within Michael as he held his young wife. And sometime within the space of a shuddering sigh, he ceased thinking of her as Angel, the harlot he loved and who had betrayed him, and saw her instead as the nameless child who had been broken and was still lost. Chapter 17. From 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. You are our letter, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets of human hearts. Forgiveness was a foreign word, grace inconceivable. Angel wanted to make up for what she had done, and she sought to do it by labor. Mama had never been forgiven, not even after 1,000 Hail Marys and Our Fathers, so how could Angel be forgiven by a single word? She worked to make it up to Michael. When she was finished with her own chores, she sought him out and asked for more to do. If he plowed, she walked behind him and pulled up the rocks, toting them to the stone wall growing between the fields. When he downed trees, she hacked off the branches with a hatchet, piled and tied them into bundles, and stacked them inside the barn to dry for kindling. When he split wood, she stacked it. She even took up a shovel to help him dig up stumps. He never asked her to do anything, so she looked for things to do for him. By nightfall, she was exhausted, but could not sit idle. Idleness made her feel guilty. Rather than pleasing him, she found he withdrew from her more each day. He was quiet, watchful, pensive. Was he already regretting his impulsiveness at bringing her back? One evening, she struggled with her weariness as he read. His voice was deep and rich, and she drifted, exhausted, fighting to keep her eyes open. He closed the book and put it back on the mantel. "You're working too hard." She pushed herself up straighter and looked at the mending in her hands. Her hands were shaking. "I'm just not used to this kind of work yet." "You've enough to do without thinking you have to take on half of what I do as well. You're dead on your feet." "I suppose I'm not very good company." When Michael put his hand on her shoulder, he felt her wince. "You ache all over from toting those rocks yesterday, and this morning you were shoveling manure from that stall."
"I needed it for the garden."
"Tell me and I'll take care of it."
"But you said the garden was my responsibility."
There was no use in talking to her. She was set on doing penance. "I'm going to go out and walk a while. Go on to bed." He went up to the hill and sat, forearms resting on his knees. "So what do I do now?"
Nothing was the same as it had been. It was as though they both walked side by side, never touching, never talking. She had cut herself wide open and poured her insides out to him the night he brought her home. Now she lay bleeding to death and wouldn't allow the healing to come. She hoped to please him by working like a slave, when all he wanted was her love. He raked a hand back through his hair and held his head. "So what do I do, Lord? What do I do?"
"Tend my lamb." "How?" Michael said to the night sky. Entering the cabin quietly, he saw she was asleep in the chair. He lifted her gently and put her to bed. She looked so young and vulnerable. How far was she removed from the child raped at 8? Not far enough. No wonder she had never seen sex as having anything to do with love.
How could she? He knew he didn't know the half of what she had gone through. He knew the only one who could mend a ruptured soul was God, and she wanted no part of him. How do I teach a hurt child to trust you when the only father she knew hated her and wanted her dead? How do I teach her the world isn't all bad when the priest turned her mother away? Lord, she was sold into bondage to a man who sounds like Satan himself. How do I convince her there are good people in the world when everyone she's ever known used her and then condemned her for it? Michael lifted a strand of her pale hair and rubbed it between his fingers. He hadn't made love to her since bringing her home. He wanted to. His body yearned for her. But then he would remember her lifeless voice as she said, "Duke has a thing for little girls," and his desire evaporated. What was she thinking all those times we were together? Was I just like all the others, taking my pleasure at her expense? She had always seemed so strong, and she was, strong enough to take unspeakable abuse and survive, strong enough to adapt to anything, strong enough to lock herself away inside walls she thought would make her safe. What choice had she then? How could she even comprehend what he offered her now? She was just a child, Lord. Why did you let it happen? Jesus, I don't understand. Why? Aren't you supposed to protect the weak and innocent? Why didn't you protect her? Why didn't you help her? Why? How was Angel any different from Hosea's wife, Gomer, sold to the prophet by her own father? A child of prostitution, an adulteress. Was Gomer ever redeemed by her husband's love? God had redeemed Israel countless times. Christ had redeemed the world. But what about Gomer, Lord? What about Angel? What about my wife? Tend my lamb. You keep saying that, but I don't know how. I don't know what you mean. I'm not a prophet, Lord. I'm a simple farmer. I'm not up to the task you've set for me. My love hasn't been enough. She's still there in the pit, dying. I reach for her, but she won't take my hand. She'll kill herself trying to earn my love when it's hers already. Trust in me with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I'm trying, Jesus. I'm trying. Dejected, Michael sat down on the edge of the bed. Tessie's skirt slid off and landed in a heap on the floor. He picked it up and looked at the threadbare fabric. Frowning, he tossed it back on the bed. He picked up the faded shirt waist and looked at it. He rubbed it between his fingers. The first time he had come to Angel in her upstairs room, she had been in satin and lace. Now he dressed her in rags. Not even her own, but those of his dead sister. Not once had Amanda asked for anything to replace them, and he had been too caught up in his own bleak thoughts and labor to give time to it. Well, that was going to change. They weren't so far away from Sacramento that they couldn't make a trip to see Joseph, who would be well stocked with his merchant's sharp mind on the coming influx of families. Michael went to Paul and asked him to watch over the stock while he and Amanda were away. At the mention of her name, Paul paled. "You brought her back?" "Yes, I brought her home." Paul fell silent, his face stiff, when Michael reminded him she was his wife. Paul agreed to take care of things. "I'll settle up with Joseph while we're in Sacramento," Michael said. "Thanks just the same, but I'll make my own arrangements." Michael hesitated, then nodded. He felt the rift between them growing wider. Paul and his insufferable, stiff-necked pride. Paul and his guilt. Michael loaded the wagon with sacks of potatoes, boxes of onions, and crates of winter apples, while Amanda stood in the barn doorway, hugging her shawl around.